Welcome to another edition of Religion and Rock. I'm Monsignor Jim Vlorn, and here he is, our producer and engineer, Mr. Stephen Sheldon.
Hey there.
How are we doing?
I am good. How are you?
Well, you know, I'm in my 20th season as the chaplain for the New York Jets.
Okay.
20 years. Now, this year, you know, everybody was saying to me, we're going to be horrible. Your team's going to stink. And guess what?
It came true.
No, we're winning. We're winning.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. We have a better record than the New York Giants, which, like, in the tri-state area, that's the big favorites, right? People have left the Jets. Well, never give up.
No, my brother's a diehard Jets fan.
Of course, if they win, yeah, right, then they say your prayers worked. If they lose, I'm doing a lousy
job. You're doing a bad job.
So everywhere I go, I kind of hear this constantly, you know, putting a lot of pressure on me, by the way.
I know.
But I tell you the truth, it's a nice ministry. I've enjoyed it for a long time now. 20 years is a long time to be doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, I say Mass for the team. I spend some time with them every week, and it really is valuable. I think it's time well spent. It's valuable.
It helps them.
And some go to confession. I baptize some of them. I've married them. It's kind of nice. There's like a lot of nice components to it, you know? But it kind of reminds me of like the larger thing, the macrocosm of the world. Like, you know, prayer is an important part of everybody's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we just kind of cash in when the mess starts, right?
Right. You just kind of, you know, forget about it. And
yeah,
then when you hit a rough patch, it's like, all right. And, you know,
time to pray again. But, you know, it's funny. I ask people all the time, like, please pray for me. Would you please pray for me? Like, I have friends right now who were over in Fatima, you know, Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal. And I said, hey, do me a favor. And they're like, well, what, do you need something? I said, yeah, I need prayers. Could you just pray for me, please? Like, I love the fact that people pray for me, because I feel like I need a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes we really got to focus on prayer and the importance of prayer in our lives. And that's what it's really going to be all about today, the gift of prayer. To start us off, this is Bon Jovi. It's called Living on a Prayer.
We'll be right back.
Living on a prayer, isn't that our life sometimes? You know, when things really fall out, we kind of live on prayer, right? When the bottom falls out in some way, somebody we love is sick, we pray a lot, right? And there's something, you know, that maybe induces a little guilt in our lives about that. Say to yourself, well, I don't pray other time. Why am I praying now? That's not really fair to God. Well, no, it is fair to God. I think any time we pray is praying, and it's a good thing, and it develops a relationship with God. But just like when we were kids, you know, you don't want to have a friend who's just a pool friend, you know, like your pool friends. Remember them in the summer? They were the kids who had pools, and we were always around their house in the summer, and they were our pals, and then the wintertime came and said, see you next summer, you know? So I think that's the idea, is kind of develop a relationship with God, that God's not just a pool friend, that God is a relationship that we have in prayer all the time, when things are good, when things are not so good. I kind of think it like marriage, you know, in good times and bad, in sickness and in health. I think there's something beautiful about that kind of relationship with God, that we kind of have this relationship all the time, not just when things are bad, not just when things are great, but in the everyday life too. You know, there's something powerful about that. So yeah, we have to kind of develop something in our lives that's kind of mature in our relationship with God and recognize that, yeah, that's something we've all been called to. We've all been called to relationship with God. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, we all have that gift, and we're called to really utilize that in our lives. Hey, here's Sting. This is called If I Ever Lose My Faith in You. Faith is something that is living and breathing in a way in our lives, and we can lose it. I think there's something about that that we can sort of lose the grasp on it. And it's similar to, I think, working out, right? I think it's sort of like that. You know, if you go to the gym, and I still try to go to the gym like 2 or 3 days a week is the best I can do right now in my life. I used to go like 4. But ultimately, you know, if you lose that, like if you stop going when you go to the gym again after a while, you're like, oh, everything is so much more difficult because we kind of get out of shape, you know? And I think spiritually, we need to be in shape too. And I think that's part of that kind of keeping it together sometimes. So even if our lives are such that, you know, I don't know, we don't have time to kneel down for an hour every day to pray, I get that. We can do it in other ways. We can do it on the train. We can do it while we're sitting at our desk. We can do it during a lunch break. And instead of, you know, just hanging around talking about everything at the table, we can just take a walk and just kind of try to focus ourselves and say, you know, God, I want to put myself in your presence for this half hour. And I just want to kind of just be with you for a little bit. Go sit in the car. You know, there's lots of ways we can do these kinds of things and make the time. Certainly masses are offered at all different times of the day and night too. I have 6:30 a.m. mass a lot. You know, there's something good about that. Like maybe start the day with that kind of thing or end the day with it. There's something great about that too, to kind of find the ways to nourish the faith so it doesn't die, so we don't get out of spiritual shape, if you will, and kind of continue to grow. Hey, here's Rush. This is called Working Them Angels.
Working them angels.
is, Rush. You know, in our lives, we do work the angels, right? You think about the people who have gone before us, and I don't know if you're like me, as I was saying in the beginning of the show, I ask people to pray for me all the time, you know? I really do. And I'm not, that's very sincere. I really feel that I can feel those prayers, and they make a difference in my life, and I'm grateful when any of you pray for me, even a little tiny prayer. But the reality is that we have all these people on the other side praying for us, too, and I think there's something great about that, this great community of people who have gone before us, who are praying for us and kind of cheering us on every day. And there's something great about reflecting on that, I think. When you think about, you know, grandparents or parents or siblings or friends who have gone before us, and you say, wow, you know, like they're gone. Yeah, but they're gone, but they're praying for us in heaven. And there's something beautiful about that. I think there's a link between us and them that is contained in prayer. And that's why for me, you know, when I pray, there's something really beautiful about that because, yeah, I'm praying to God, of course, and to Jesus to help me. But at the same time, I know that there are other people on the other side praying for me too. And that kind of gives me a great strength knowing that I'm not alone. And I ask them to pray for me a lot, you know, because I think we need a lot of prayers in this world to kind of get us through. There's something beautiful about that. Hey, here's Hart. Who will you run to? Who will you run to? You know, interesting, a couple of weeks ago I told you I had an opportunity to sit with Sir Paul McCartney, of all people, which for me was just an incredible conversation and time spent with him. I was a guest of he and his wife at one of his concerts, and what an incredible conversation. I'm going to tell you about the conversation later. We're going to play some Beatles music, and I'll tell you about the whole story of meeting him and what we talked about, because it wasn't just about music. It wasn't hardly at all about music. It was all about prayer. It was all about faith, and this is a great show to kind of talk about it. That's what I think. When we have problems in our lives, I mean, that's exactly it. We got to figure out where we go. We run to other people in our lives who are there for us, who God has given us. Those are kind of the angels of our lives, right? And then we run to God too. There's something good about that, you know, that we have that safety net that's underneath us. That's the thing we have to reflect on all the time in our lives. You know, where do you go when it all ends? Where do you go when things change? Where do you go when you have had a terrible day? That's kind of that gift of where prayer starts in our lives, and hopefully it grows from there into a lot more than that. It's kind of an important thing to think about. Hey, here's the Police. This is called Message in a Bottle. Hi, Monsignor Jim. You're listening to Religion and Rock. We're talking about prayer today. Many ways in which we pray and are called to pray. Message in a bottle. Well, that's kind of like our prayer in some ways, right? We throw out these messages to God. Help me out here. I could use a little help in decision making. And I think we sometimes get those answers in different ways, right? You know, that you know your message has been read, if you will, by God. You know, it's sort of like an email, you know, that you send out and you say, oh, I wish I didn't send that. You know, it's too late once you send it. Well, I think part of a gift in prayer is that when we send those prayers, you know, then we kind of wait for that answer. You know, we wait for that answer to come back to us. And it often does in different ways, isn't it? It's amazing. In my life, that's happened to me like financially 1,000 times. Like when I was a younger guy and was in high school, I used to take kids out or something. I had like 20 bucks in my pocket. I said, all right, let's go get pizza and get some pizzas. I spent like $19. And I said, now what am I going to do for the rest of the week? I don't have any money. And then somehow or another, like an envelope would come, a card would come, and there'd be 25 bucks in it or whatever. It always came back. You know, when I gave, I received. And it kind of taught me that about life. That's kind of ways in which prayer works in our lives, is sometimes through the lessons of life. You know, that's how we learn the stove is hot. That's how we learn we're blessed. Both things in the experiences of our lives that are good and bad, but they kind of can all be used to help us in so many ways. Hey, here's REM. This is called Losing My Religion.
Said enough.
You probably don't need me to tell you that there are things out there that challenge our faith, right? That's for sure. And there are things that happen all the time in our lives that don't add up, that don't make sense, and it can be a real challenge. I mean, sometimes it's the kind of personal things. I was with a couple this week who were literally crying, and they said, we don't understand why our daughter had to go through the breakup of her marriage. This is terrible, and we're faithful people. We go to church. Why did this happen to us? Yeah, that's like one of those ultimate questions. But then you look at a larger level, and you say, well, why do the people of Puerto Rico have to suffer so much? Like, why is that? You know, that doesn't make any sense. Why is Mexico upside down now because of this earthquake? You know, you think about these terrible things that happen. You say, well, you know, why is there God? Is it all haphazard? Part of that questioning, I think, helps us to deepen our faith, that we're not like five-year-olds that say, well, it's a gumball machine God. You put a quarter in, you turn the handle, and you get a gumball. Well, it's not that easy, is it? Because that would sort of limit God to just like the great, you know, kazoo that you see in a, you know, an amusement center where you put a nickel in, you get your fortune told. Like, that's not how it works, you know? It's a deeper relationship. It's a relationship that calls us to recognize that, yeah, when things don't go well, he's still with us. When things go great, he's still with us. And there's something beautiful about that relationship in good times and in bad, in sick and in health that make all the difference in the world. Here's Cheap Trick, If You Want My Love. Trick, If You Want My Love. So I'm sitting at my desk a couple of weeks ago, and I'm with Father Michael Plona, who's a newly ordained priest, good friend, and he's a big Beatles fan. And I'm talking to him, and all of a sudden my email goes bing, and I look, and there's something there from the assistant to Nancy Chevelle, Paul McCartney's wife. And she says, it says in the email, Paul and I would like you to be our guest at the concert tonight at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So I thought it was a joke, you know, and I didn't even mention anything to Father Michael. I just emailed back and said, sorry, you know, I have no tickets. I'm not going tonight. And she wrote back and said, no, this is real. And the McCartneys would like you to be their guest at the show. So I read this to Father Michael Plona, and I said, listen, are you around tonight? You want to do this? So he said, yeah, let's go. So long story short, we get tickets from the McCartneys. We go. We get laminates. Next thing you know, I'm backstage, and so is he. And what happens is it's not a meet and greet. I've met so many different artists, as you guys know, over the years and gotten autographs and pictures and blah, blah, blah. This was really to spend time backstage talking and spending some time with them, I learned when I went back there. So we go back into Sir Paul McCartney's dressing room. They open up the curtain, and right behind this like beautiful but a locker room that was transformed into like a living room, there he is, Sir Paul McCartney. And he comes over and he greets us, and he's so real and so kind and so friendly. Nancy was stuck in traffic. She wasn't there yet, his wife, but so beautiful. And the first thing he asked me about was my chalice, that on my chalice, it says, in the end, the love you take equals the love you make, as you know from the Beatles on Abbey Road. Not a scripture quote, but that. And he was so taken by that, asked me why and all of that. And he was so interested, had us sit down. And a beautiful conversation ensued about faith and the importance of faith, that in the end, the love you take does equal the love you make. If you give a lot, you get a lot. I could not believe, neither could Father Michael, we're sitting in the presence of Sir Paul McCartney talking about this, not talking about the Beatles. And he said something which was interesting. He said, you know, I'm a Catholic, a baptized Catholic, and one of the things I'm excited about is that I'll see my parents again. I'm excited about seeing my wife, Linda, again. And he said, I grew up Catholic. He said, but we couldn't afford the Catholic school. We went to Protestant school in Liverpool. There were two kinds, Catholic and Protestant. And he said, but I'm sort of glad I went to that school in Liverpool, that Protestant school. He said, because in the row sitting right next to me was a guy named George Harrison. And that's where it all began. I sat and I was sort of numb listening to these stories. It was just amazing. A great encounter. Spent about 20 minutes with them all together. I'm going to tell you more about it. He opened up the show with this very song. We were sitting in the front row. Could you believe that? He looked right down at us, gave us a wink and a thumbs up. And he played this first chord, which we all know, the Beatles, A Hard Day's Night.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog.
So we're in the the dressing room still, and I say to him, tell me about this Ecce Cormeum. Now, he has a oratorio that's called Ecce Cormeum, Behold My Heart. I know the story, but I wanted him to tell it. And he said, well, after Linda died, I went to St. Ignatius Church on Park Avenue in Manhattan every day and used to cry before this statue of the Sacred Heart, and it had Ecce Cormeum. He says, you Latins call it Ecce, right? I said, yeah. He said, Behold My Heart. And I didn't understand it completely, and the priest finally explained to me that what it is Jesus in that Sacred Heart statue with the heart kind of exposed of Christ. He says he beholds his heart to you, Paul. You need to behold your heart to him, to give back to him. And he said that changed my whole perspective on death and dying, that I realized that I had received Linda's heart too, and I was called to reflect her heart back to the world. Incredible. I'm sitting there listening to that, and absolutely amazing. We did talk about my favorite Beatles song. I have two, you know, and this is one of them. It's called A Day in the Life.
He didn't notice that the lights had changed. A crowd of people stood and stared. They'd seen his face before. Nobody was really sure if he was on the house of law. The army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away, but I just had to look. Having read the I
I'm sharing a little bit about that incredible encounter with Sir Paul McCartney a couple of weeks ago. So he's talking about prayer, and he said, you know, I'm very devoted to St. Francis of Assisi for two reasons. He goes, you know, my love of animals and for the protection of animals. Linda and I were very devoted to that. We continue that to this very day, Nancy and I. And he said, it's very, very important to us. He said, but secondly, his prayer for peace and how much peace makes a difference. And I think we need to pray for peace all the time in our lives. And he goes, that prayer for peace that St. Francis has, it's called, you know, let me be an example of peace. There's something beautiful about that. And it makes a big difference to me. I pray it all the time. And I was shocked by that. And Father Michael Plona said, well, I'm about to go to Assisi and I promise that I'll pray for you there. And he said, yeah, please do. That would be great, you know. And at that point, he had a prayer card that he had in his pocket, Father Michael, of his own ordination. Priests, when they get ordained, they have a prayer card, you know. Mine are withered and faded, but his was still fresh. He's only a priest 3 months. And he said, look at this prayer card. It has a picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus on it. And he loved that. And Sir Paul said, I'm going to keep this if you don't mind. I want to keep it in my pocket. I'm going to take it on the rest of the tour with me. And he put it in his back pocket of his black jeans. And I thought to myself, what an incredible gift that is, you know, an amazing thing. And as we were getting ready to go, because the show was going to start, I remember saying to him, you know, Paul, I just want to say one thing. I said, and I know you hear it every day, but thank you. Thank you for the way your music's like kind of carried me through life. I said, I know you don't know me well. You know, he knew of me, and how I got back there was because of mutual friends. They were out to dinner the night before talking about it. And that's how we got this last minute invitation. But he said, I said, I just really have been so moved by your music. You've carried me through so much. And I just want to say thank you for that. And he looked at me and he says, I don't want to give you a pat answer. He said, but I do want to say one thing. Thank you for the ways in which you've carried people through life. And you've done that for many people too. So thank you too, Monsignor. And I just kind of numbly turned around and walked toward the door thinking, what an unbelievable encounter with an unbelievable person. All the years I've been doing this and everything, it was really a beautiful, beautiful moment. So to kind of take us through, this is the Beatles from Abbey Road, Golden Slumbers.
Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. Golden slumbers fill your eyes, smiles awake you. I will sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward. Once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, I will sing a lullaby.
Thank you.
In the end, the love you take equals the love you make. Boy, that makes a big difference in my life, and what a great encounter that I'll remember the rest of my life. And absolutely incredible. Actually, during the show, before he played the song Magical Mystery Tour, he reached into his back pocket and took that prayer card out in the middle of the stage and like kind of showed it to us. It was kind of funny, and put it back in his pocket. But just a really sincere and good man, and a great encounter for me that was just really a beautiful experience, you know, just to see somebody so sincere and so in touch with their faith. You know, I think in all of our lives, prayer is an important part of it. You know, we need to be people of prayer. We need to recognize that prayer carries us through no matter who we are and no matter what we do. Prayer is such an important part of grounding us. So we need to spend a little time in prayer this week. And that's a good thing, to recognize how God has put people in our prayers and in our lives to inspire us. But also at the same time, to recognize we need to keep people in our prayers all the time, to pray for them and their good health and their goodwill, and that this world will change one person at a time because of our prayer and the prayers of other people in heaven and on earth praying for us. You've been listening to Religion and Rock. It's hosted by me, Monsignor Jim Vlahan, and it's engineered and produced by the great man of prayer himself, Mr. Guru, Stephen Sheldon. Have a wonderful week, everyone, and don't forget, say a prayer.